You're on a big screen today, so in my spare room.
That's a bit scary.
I've got my makeup on.
Okay. Has any of you got a question or anything you want to talk about today?
Ruth? As you didn't get on last time?
Well, I sort of did.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's not so much a question. It's been more, well, I've read through all the materials. I've listened to all the videos. But I still don't particularly find it easy to, you know, just the stepping in and out of heaven. It's still a struggle. And I'm not sure how to overcome that. I've had some wonderful experiences when I have had, when it has happened. But I don't feel sort of any nearer to being able to do that on an automatic way, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. What I would suggest, the next module of the Alpha Manual, basically, it's all about training the senses to do that. So practicing how to see, how to hear, how to perceive, how to discern, by building up our engagement with our spirit, our imagination, our heart in different ways. So you know, the next modules are all designed at base camp to build our spirit. That's the key element to it, is to build our spirit so our spirit is able to engage in the realms of the spirit and able to communicate and connect with our soul so that they work together. And I think that really is the key to how we learn to do it at will rather than when we're in some sort of spiritual encounter or some sort of ecstatic experience or a worship time. We have to train our senses, so it's practice, really. And, you know, there are loads of exercises within the manual which build upon each other. First one really is about praying in tongues all the time. Learning to pray in tongues out loud, but also in our mind and also in our spirit. So that there's a constant flow of spiritual activity in that our spirit is constantly engaged with the supernatural realm and with the realms of heaven and therefore is able to basically guide and direct us into those things. But it takes practice, you know. Initially learning to meditate in the Word of God and learning to use the Word of God as a doorway, learning to meditate and open up our imagination using pictures and natural images or memories that we've had for previous encounters as doorways back into those encounters. You know, there's a whole process ultimately culminating in being able to see with the eyes of our spirit into the spiritual realms, into the realms of heaven, and that seeing is not necessarily always visual, but is knowing. It's more, a lot of our spirit communicates by thought rather than picture, and the language of heaven is thought, and that thought is visual, but not in the way always that we try and see it as, you know. And so sometimes when we are looking at you know, our natural eyes, They discern things, they pick up information, our brain interprets it. Our brain needs to be trained to interpret all the signals that our spirit can receive as well as those which our natural eyes can see and the eyes of our heart, our imagination can engage. And they all basically get interpreted within our brain. Everything is inside our head, you know. So, you know, people, I know people struggle, well, you're just using your imagination. Well, as if that's a bad thing. You know, God's given us our imagination to be able to have a screen that can have images projected onto it, things that we can begin to discern and begin to see in the thoughts of our own heart, and learning to engage that. you know, God had thoughts about us before we were ever formed. And so he was able to visualize us in his heart and therefore be able to see us to therefore speak us into being. So, you know, the whole process is one of practicing to train those senses, just like our natural senses have been trained through years and years and years of seeing and hearing and picking up the natural, whether it's light or whether it's sound, waves, all of that stuff basically flows out of learning and training. And therefore, when we begin to train our senses, you know, it's tongues, meditation, they're all part of the key to be able to see. And it takes time, you know, to make it a lifestyle so that we can just do it takes time. Now, I don't believe it will take as long as it took me, because I think God has opened up a doorway for us to have an acceleration in these things, but you still have to practice. If it doesn't become a pathway that you've developed yourself so that you've really engaged how you see, hear, perceive, you know, whichever way God uses to be able to communicate with you, primarily we can focus on that as our strength, but then also we can practice on some of the other areas. And some people are operate more with impressions and seeing and knowing, and some people have visions and different things. But we can practice all of them. And so really the next whole of the next section of the module base camp is all about that. So as you get onto that, you will be able to follow the exercises. You know, there are the exercises, there are things I did with our church on a Sunday where I went through the whole process. And so there are, I think, 7 messages around the different ways of building our spirit, and then all the exercises. And I think I did a couple of extra sessions on tongues and on meditation, pulling all the exercises together so that, you know, people can just practice in different ways. And there's audio, and there's also video of those things. So, you know, I'd encourage you just to just practice from the beginning, building up those senses so that you can actually step in. And a lot of people, you know, have had many encounters, but as you say, it's not something that they necessarily can go back into by choice. And we need to be able to engage by choice, because we need to be able to step into the spiritual realm, because everything's done beyond the veil. And if we can't engage that veil, then we're going to struggle. Now, of course, God always responds to faith. So by faith, you can choose to step through the veil, because you can use the doorway of the word, because, you know, in Revelation 4:1, basically there it says, you know, there is an open door in heaven, come up here. And so you have a scriptural precedent which you can use to engage faith, to say, well, in faith, I am going to engage that word, and I'm going to step into the realms of heaven in my spirit, and my spirit is going to engage there. And I'm going to begin to exercise by faith my spirit's access to that realm, and you can do that immediately without being able to see, without being able to necessarily get everything else, because you are going to exercise that by faith, and God will respond, and your spirit will receive revelation even if your mind doesn't right now. Because what I actually have discerned in my own life is you receive revelation by engaging in intimacy with God. That's where the revelation comes from. You know, we want to hear God tell us things, or we want to see things. That's not revelation. That's just words, and that's just pictures. If we actually draw near to God and have intimacy with him, then his heart to our heart, that revelation can be imparted. And so our spirit can receive revelation even when our mind has not got it yet. And so when you step in by faith, it's like your spirit is engaging in that realm, and you can engage that, and your spirit will receive the benefit of being there. And of course, you know, the more you do that, the more sensitive you start to become. You know, by, again, just building the exercises and learning how to engage. You know, if you want to engage, you know, like the court system in Realms of Heaven, or you want to engage your mountain or your throne, well, then you just start by using an image of a mountain or a throne, and you begin to picture yourself there on that mountain, on that throne, and then you engage your spirit in it. And if you're able to hear God's voice and discern the whether it's a small still voice or an impression in your mind, then when you engage and you begin to talk and you begin to seek revelation with God, then you expect something to flow into you. And you know, by learning how to hear his voice through the word, then you'll build up that capacity to enter into a to start with, enter into a conversation with him. You know, how do you have a conversation with a spirit? Well, in the same way you have a conversation with a person. In a sense, you engage your spirit with their spirit, and in a sense with God, you engage your spirit with God as a spiritual being, and you ask him things and you wait for his thoughts to come into your mind as a spontaneous flow of information, revelation, words, impressions, all those different things. We just have to learn to tune into them by getting onto the right wavelength and tuning in to listen. And I did this in my own personal life when I first began to meditate in the word, by just speaking the word to myself, mulling it over, and engaging in the word, and the thoughts of God, the Holy Spirit's thoughts, would just begin to bring revelation about that word as I repeated it to myself. You know, and in the modules, there are exercises which do that. So there are several ones that I've recorded using Psalm 23, particularly, and also Psalm 46, I think, 10, where it's about be still and know that I'm God. You know, those are places to start. So be still and know that I'm God. Now, if you meditate in there and you practice being still and you practice, say, okay, I'm just going to repeat those words, you know, be still and know that I'm God, you know, and if you then, the way I do it is I go through each word and I focus on each word and I allow the thoughts of God about that word to bring revelation to me. So be, you know, so I would close my eyes and I would just say to myself, be, 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 and I'd repeat it and slowly. And I would allow the thoughts about being to come into my mind. What is it to be? To be is not to do. To be is who I am, is my identity. You know, all those thoughts can begin to come as revelation from God. You know, be still. What is it to be still? You know, does being still mean you don't do anything? Or does being still, is it a concept that you're being still from the activity of self-effort and self-works? You know, so there's lots of things that can just flow, and in that process you learn to discern those spontaneous things that flow from God. And then when you begin then to say, okay, I'm going into a court and I'm going to stand in front of the judge who's the Father, Jesus is my advocate, yeah, I'm going to convene this court and call my accusers to come before me, then you're going to say, okay, what is my accusation? What is your accusation against me? Well, the same thing. If you are in a visual sense and you're seeing it all take place, fine. But actually the reality is you still need to discern what is being said to you, what is being communicated to you about the accusation. So that likely is it'll come as a thought in your mind. Even if you're seeing it as a picture, it's still in your mind because that's where the picture is and that's where the sound or the thoughts come in your mind, and you learn to tune into them. You know, so it is a practice thing, you know, and then, you know, you go on then to use pictures or word pictures to enter into that picture, you know. So it's like, okay, Jesus is sat talking to his disciples. Well, I want to picture that. So I use my imagination to picture Jesus sat with his disciples talking to them. And then I want to see myself sat with them. and begin to engage in listening. Was he telling them? Then it's like, okay, well, I want to join in the conversation. I want to ask him something and see if he then speaks back to me. Same thing would apply to, you know, Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. So I'm going to lie down. I'm going to be still. I'm going to rest. And then I'm going to picture him coming and sitting next to me, and we're going to talk. And in intimacy, it's like the key understanding is what John did. John lay his head on the breast of Jesus to hear his heartbeat, to feel the beating of his heart, to feel that connection, and to experience that connection with him. So we learn how to do that, and we practice developing that until we begin to engage in it and we actually are actively operating in it.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to say something.
Yeah, go on.
I've got a phone call. Sorry. Oh, gosh.
Hello. Ruth, your picture's back.
Is it Joe?
Okay. All right. You're okay, Jane?
Yeah, I'm fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Just wait and see if she comes back.
Well,
it's interesting you mentioned about leaning on Jesus's breast, because I watched a bit of the live stream over the weekend with Ian Clayton and Grant Mahoney, and Ian was talking about John being in the spirit and leaning, having engaged at a very deep level with Jesus's heart by leaning his head on the breast, and then being impacted by that. And then, you know, in Revelation, so that was in the Gospels, and then in Revelation, even though he's overwhelmed by who Jesus is, he's still able to relate heart to heart. It was quite an interesting statement. I do want to watch it again to try and get a handle on it, but it's just interesting that you mentioned it at that point, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's this drawing near to him.
Yeah.
Connecting with him.
Yeah.
And then actually receiving the revelation from his heart into our heart and into our life, if you like. And, you know, and I think, you know, Ian mentioned in that whole thing about, you know, it being a download that enabled him to do things as a forerunner of engaging in the realm of the spirit that others couldn't do. You know, I think we tend to sort of almost think of all the disciples were able to do everything because they'd spent their time with Jesus. It's like, no, they were able to do what he taught them to do, and he said for them to teach others what he had taught them to do. He didn't necessarily teach them to do that because it wasn't their time. You know, I think this is the whole thing of the church age, the kingdom age, and the age of the order of Melchizedek. Yeah. There is a time now where information is moving to and fro around the earth, according to Daniel, that the books have been opened, that the revelation has been opened for us to all now experience what Jesus intended us to do now. You know, and we're in a new order, in a new dimension, and there are forerunners of this new order and this dimension who have had these experiences, who have engaged in the realms of heaven, who have had downloads from Jesus by embracing him, learning how to embrace him, learning how to be intimate with him, so that the revelation of his heart is revealed, so that we can be in him, step into him, experience being in him, therefore then engage in what was in his heart in eternity. You know, we're in a privileged time, and not everybody has been able to do all these things all the way through. Now, there have been sort of mystics and ecstatics who've had these sort of experiences, but they had experiences, but they still weren't operating in the same realms that we are now.
That's right.
And although their experiences were valid and real, it wasn't something that they necessarily could walk in like we can walk in it now. And the same with John. John had a download of how to do this, therefore he had a revelation. And I think if you look at the Gospel of John as compared to the other three Gospels, and if you look at the Epistles of John and Revelation, you see that he's talking about things that no one else talked about. And even the stuff that he records is almost like Jesus obviously said some things which the other people didn't pick up on, because maybe they didn't understand the significance of what Jesus was saying, or maybe Jesus just said them to John. Maybe John even got them in a download, you know, in a sense. Some of it is he spoke publicly and he obviously spoke things out, and there were things that John recorded that the others didn't. Like, you know, the I am statements. You know, those I am statements are not recording in the other Gospels. Mm. You know, like the eat my flesh, drink my blood, and do those things. And so we can live forever. That whole revelation is not in the other Gospels, in the same, presented in the same way. And so I think something John was able to tune in because of the intimacy, and he shared so many different things there, which were beyond what the others had experienced. And then he went on to experience those things. You know, he experienced those things, and in experiencing those things, he was then able to move forward and experience those things and go forward into them.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. Did you hear me? Oh, sorry about the phone call earlier. Oh, my word. can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you, no problem.
Mike, hear me? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, because I've heard you talking about mountains and thrones and stuff. And I know that's part of the teaching, but I don't really understand all of that stuff yet. Should I understand that now? Or is that to come?
If you think of it in terms of the symbolism of authority, and if you think of it in those terms, then when you're developing the relationship, then those things will come as a result of the relationship. So understanding our position of authority will come out of the intimacy that we develop with him. When we open the next module, which I'm working on right now, is all about the first love gate. And that first love gate is how you then open up your spirit for the presence of God to come. Then you can engage in your spirit, and then you realize that your spirit is a mountain. You know, it's like whenever God engaged anything, he engaged on a mountain. You know, his Zion is a mountain. The throne of God and all the things of Eden and everything are all on a mountain, a very large mountain in the realms of heaven. And there are so many mountain ranges below that which speak of levels of kingdom authority and power. And so, you know, we can engage in those things as we build. Now, a lot of people understand that. A lot of people are operating in that now because they've had experiences of it. Don't rush into something. Everything has to come out of relationship anyway. So the more relationship you build, the more you'll understand that you are a house of God, you are a mountain, and you're also a gateway of heaven. And so once you open up your first love gate and realize that that becomes a doorway for encounter, you'll realize that actually you can engage the mountains, which are authority. And, you know, everything was done on mountains in the Word. You know, wherever God turned up, it was a mountain. There, Mount Horeb was described as the mountain of God. You know, and ultimately then Jerusalem eventually was called the mountain of God. Now, we don't worship in Jerusalem any longer or on any other mountain. Now, we worship in spirit and in truth. So our spirit is actually the mountain of God. Mm-hmm. and he dwells, because there's a throne within our spirit, and we invite him to come and reign on that throne on the mountain of our own life, so that he can teach us to rule and teach us to reign as we become sons. So don't worry too much about it. I am going to cover it in the next module, and we'll look at the whole thing of being a mountain. And then ultimately, once we then start to engage in heaven, we will then engage in Eden, which is on the mountain of God. That's why there's waterfalls and different things and rivers flowing down, because the whole thing is a huge mountain. And we can go up on that mountain. We can go up into that mountain. There are many rooms in that mountain that we can engage in, because it's Mount Zion. And it says in Hebrews that we have now come to Mount Zion. Yeah, we can engage that. They weren't able to touch it, other than Moses and a few others went on to it, because they refused to become married to God in the Old Testament. And Moses went as a mediator. That was never God's intention. But because of their refusal to accept the invitation of coming into that ketubah with God, then Moses went as a mediator, and the whole priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood was established. Now we're in a different order. We're in the order of Melchizedek, and therefore in that order now we can engage in a different way. But, you know, it's all part of the journey that we're on. So, yeah.
Can I ask a practical question, Mike?
Yeah.
I'm just having a little bit of trouble finding my way into where the materials are. I don't know why, but I can't seem to locate them on Google or Google Plus. Could you just point me in the right direction?
Where the materials are.
Sorry? For the, because I was just looking for them just now, and I don't know whether I've missed them or whether I've found them and I didn't recognize them for what they were. So.
Okay. I mean, I sent out an email with all the alpha material on it. There were two PowerPoint shows that you can run on your computer and a link to Google Drive.
Okay, I got that, so that's fine. That's what it is. Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
So essentially, all it is, it's the same front end.
Yeah.
Till you go down to the main menu, and on the main menu, you'll have two modules. You'll have the preparation module, which is the first module, then the base camp module.
Okay.
And once you click on the base camp module, that should take you through then to a link which goes to the introduction to the base camp module, and then you can then access the same sort of diagram where you start up in the top left and you work your way around, and on there will be teaching, practical exercises, links to blog posts and different things.
Okay, thanks.
Downloads and resources.
I think I didn't go down far enough, because that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. Yeah.
The main menu is really where you are able to engage everything, and you can get to that from the index at any point.
Okay. And then that will that's great.
Further. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Brilliant.
I think I might be. So I've gone round the preparation videos. I've listened to all of those and all the others that you sent at the beginning. I've listened to the base camp video and the PDF. Am I meant to be? Is there another link I'm meant to be going on to? That's what I'm not sure about.
Well, in the first module, basically there was just the journey preparation link that then took you to the diagram, which then you started in the top left, and it was the Joshua generation, then inheritance, and then destiny, and then eventually following around to the preparation videos, and then the two journey maps, in terms of the maps of where we're going. Now, in the last one I sent out a new set of diagrams and the link, and a new link to Google Plus in Google Drive, and that will then now contain the next module. So on the main menu, you'll find you can now click on Basecamp, and then that will take you to the next set of teaching.
Okay.
There. Also, I think, Ruth, you haven't signed up to Google, the Freedom ARC Google account, which is mentioned in that video, in the email I sent with the second module, because that's really where you can access anything. There's a forum there, you can ask questions, people are helping each other out and hanging out. So there's information there how to do that. There should have been several emails that you received with a link to set up with your password to actually set up your Google Plus Freedom Art, and we're going to communicate via that email address, and there's lots of information on there to say how you do it, how you forward the emails to make sure you get the emails and everything so that we can connect. So seemingly you haven't set that up yet. So I don't know whether you've not seen the email or...
No, I have one email from a Sam,
and
it's going to send me a link to FreedomArc, and I never that bit never came through, so I've missed something somewhere. I've missed a link, or I've missed an email somewhere that hasn't come through.
That first email was sent out, and on that email was the instructions of how to set up your FreedomArc email address at Google Plus. Things. I mean, I can send it to you again directly.
I'll have another go. Yeah.
You just follow the instructions on there. Then there's a forum page in groups within Google Plus that then you can then interact with others, and all the downloads are stored there. The latest downloads are all there. You can click on that anytime and restore them.
Okay. Yeah. I've just got it, and I haven't seen it before. I've seen the general information, but I hadn't actually gone right into the manual, so I'm going to have a look at that after we've finished. So, brilliant. Thank you, Mike.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Well, a lot of these things, it's a learning curve.
Yeah.
And interactive technology with people with all sorts of different equipment and different PCs and different ways of doing things is trying to find a way to communicate with people. So to make sure they get the information. And, you know, I was sending out lots of emails by groups because there was 200 people signed up for this, so I couldn't send out 200 individual emails. So I set up 8 different groups. Some people's spam filters don't like emails from groups, so they just spam it. So people weren't getting the instructions. So the reason for setting up the Google Freedom ARC email address is that is our intranet. It's basically our domain.
Yeah.
We have access to as many email addresses as we want to create there, and therefore we set up a group, and that in that group it becomes a forum, so people can communicate with each other, can post the information. There's Google Drive for everybody, lots of things like that.
That's
so that's really the reason for doing it is so everyone will be able to get the information, but then everyone has to activate their account, otherwise.
Yeah.
So it's a sort of catch-20 situation. We want people to be able to communicate that way, but people have to activate their account so that they're able to receive it. And there's instructions about how to get that email forwarded to your present email address so it comes into the same place, or you can set up within your present email program, an IMAP or a POP3 address for FreedomArc so that you can see it there. There's several ways, and they're all explained as information that we've sent out, and they're all posted and on the top 6 or 7 posts of the forum. All that information's there. How to use Google Groups, all that sort of thing. Because you get access to groups, which you don't necessarily get in normal Google Plus. But the information's all quickly there, and I'll send it back out again so you can get it.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I watched part of the hangout you did last week about DNA. I haven't seen all of it, so I don't know if you covered this yet. I was trying to catch up, but I was doing stuff over the weekend. I wondered if you could just mention, perhaps explain a little bit about changing frequencies and how our frequencies can be changed. I don't know if you talked about that in that hangout, whether you went on to do that or
mind. Yeah, I was talking about DNA being programmed, and that in order, the order of Melchizedek has no genealogy, therefore our DNA needs to be reprogrammed and to have his programming so that we become like him. And we do that through communion. There's one dimension of doing that. But when you do that in communion, you need to embrace the frequency of what you're taking. And that means that you put your words, which carry frequency, and when you begin to speak the truth lined up with that, you then begin to take on the frequency that comes from the DNA of God, which can resequence our DNA. And you know, scientifically, they've shown that frequencies, words, modulated light can all resequence DNA. And DNA can be resequenced within, instantly, if you like. As they've determined by sort of epigenetic studies, things can be changed in various ways, and there's a whole study that was done by some Russian scientists about how you change the sequencing of DNA. Now, we have 3% of our DNA, which is actually encoded for what we look like and all our physical attributes and various other things. 97% of the DNA actually is a language sequence that encodes proteins and also has switches and triggers to switch on and off certain things within our DNA, like sickness. And certain environmental conditions or traumatic conditions can actually trigger those things to be switched on, and people can then become what those switches turn on. And some of those things are negative. Some of them are sickness issues. Some of them actually are addiction issues and other things which are sequenced within our DNA because of previous generational experiences which were sown in there. Now, we know that's visited to the third, fourth generation. Now, it's not that God visits that. It's a consequence of sin that produces iniquity that actually then gets visited on that. It's not that God does it. It's just our DNA was designed to have triggers within it. And those things, therefore, can be resequenced by applying the truth. And there are other things that can resequence our frequency. I mean, each organ of our body has a frequency. Our body itself carries a frequency. The planet carries a frequency. And we're all supposed to be operating in a harmonious way, but a lot of people teach that we should be in harmony with the planet. Well, if the planet is not in harmony itself, why would we want to be in harmony with the planet? We want to bring the planet into a harmony with God and back into its harmonized situation. It's like, you know, the groan of creation is groaning for restoration. And so when we begin to carry the frequency of God, if you like, and we are operating in the correct frequency, then we should bring other things into it. Because like a minor frequency will always be submissive to a major frequency. And so when you resonate, you bring a minor frequency. So if you have two tuning forks and you one minor, one major frequency, and you hit them, the minor frequency will always align itself with the major one, because that's the nature of resonance. So when we draw near to God, then we're looking to resonate with the frequency that he produces so that we are aligned with him. So when we step into him, we're stepping into that frequency. And so that's a spiritual dynamic which then needs to flow out through the rest of our life. And that works out in practical ways. You know, there are obviously the healing oils carry higher frequency. There are certain higher frequency sounds You know, the 528 frequency is a healing frequency. You know, there are other frequencies that we need to understand musically to be able to bring alignment. And some of the sound that comes out of heaven is a sound frequency of God, that when we draw near to him, we begin to vibrate at that frequency. If you think of even like in the recreation, the spirit hovered over the waters. He vibrated. He had a frequency over the waters that brought the waters together to bring restoration. So, you know, the whole thing about it is, in terms of our transformation, we need to be transformed, you know, not just emotionally and in our soul, but also within our physical body. Now, when we engage the cross and we engage stepping in through the cross, which is the veil, if you like, into the realms of heaven, then we're embracing the power of the cross, and that itself carries a frequency that we can engage in. And so, you know, when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, we are looking to engage, you know, our spirit, soul, and body into that. When you go through the cross, you're engaging the power of the resurrection. And again, people see, you know, the whole miscommunication of the truth is that people see that resurrection is only after we die. Why? When we can engage the cross and get our body resurrected now to be like his body. And that's the transformation process that our DNA needs to go through so that we can become like him. And therefore, we can have a resurrected body while we're still here on the earth. In fact, we won't be able to engage with the earth unless we have a resurrected body. And therefore, we need to we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And so we're presenting ourselves to him for transformation. And obviously there's the process of transformation that we engage in that deals with our emotions, it deals with our soul, but also it deals with the body. And so we become transfigured. The whole process, if you think of the process of transformation, the word transformation comes from the Greek metamorphosis, metamorpheo. So it's about changing into one thing from another. It's like a frog didn't start out as a frog. It started out as a, you know, a frog spawn, which hatched into a tadpole, which underwent metamorphosis and became a frog. Same with a butterfly. It didn't start out as a butterfly. It started out as an egg, which formed as a caterpillar. And the caterpillar went in the chrysalis and then became a butterfly, which is metamorphosis. The word, same word, is the word that's used for transfiguration. So when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, again, he was on a mountain when he was transfigured, and that mountain was connected to the mountain of God. Literally, his body underwent change to be transfigured or metamorphosed. So our body is also designed for metamorphosis, to be transformed into the image. Because in Romans 8, it says that we were predestined to be conformed to his image. Predestined before the foundation of the world. So it's always been God's desire that we would be in the image of God. And therefore we need our body, soul, and spirit completely aligned in unity and oneness so that we can be operating in the right frequency with one another and within myself. Because disharmony is when my spirit, soul, and body are out of harmony with each other. So as I learn to engage my spirit, and my spirit carries the frequency of God, and I become one spirit with him, then that spirit can engage with and connect with that which is going on in my soul, and so my soul can be brought into harmony, and then my body can be brought into harmony, therefore I can therefore be manifesting the representation of heaven on earth through the kingdom around me, because it's flowing through and flowing in that way. So it's a whole process in which, you know, we have to learn lots of different things, and there are different aspects of that process in a sense that we go through, but ultimately it's so we can be brought into oneness with him and ourselves, which was always God's intention. And that brings the government of God through us.
That was awesome. that was just amazing that transfiguration is the same word. I mean, that's... And the concept of the disharmony between body, soul and spirit leading to things like sickness and emotional dysfunction and... But it's wonderful that when our spirit is joined to God, then our body and soul can follow and connect and be part, be come back into harmony. It's just awesome. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, and then that's really what happens when you flow from the inside out.
Yeah.
Everything flows from the inside out, not the outside in. So we need our spirit to encompass our soul, and our soul then to mediate to our body, the spirit, not the other way around. And everything flows out of that relationship with God and the kingdom that's in us that then flows through the gateways of our life. And so that's why it's so important to cleanse those gateways and see those gateways open, because that really is where the flow of the river of life and the streams of life and all the sort of analogies that there are for this flow that comes from that intimacy and relationship to then flow through us and around us, so that we can manifest that around our own lives. And, you know, hence then Peter's shadow healing somebody.
Yeah.
You know, was just a reflection that was what in him, coming around him, and operating in that way.
Could you say a bit about oneness? You mentioned about being brought into oneness at the end there. Could you just describe what you...
Okay. Well, in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." So when we open our first love gate and we begin to surrender and yield the government of the of our life, when we take on the yoke of Jesus, when we embrace drinking the fountain of living water that's in us as the source of life, and we embrace them, and we learn to receive the revelation, when we yield to the Father so that he will father us on the throne of our life as the seat of rest and the seat of government, literally what we're doing is we're being joined to him. And it's about the deepest form of intimacy. He's in us, we're in him. It's like we are then coming into that alignment where we're being joined to him and one with him. I mean, it's like our DNA strands being aligned with his DNA strands. It's like taking on the, you know, having 12 strands of DNA, not just two. You know, there's so much that goes with this, and understanding the process that goes on. You know, it's engaging the fire stone, so the revelation of who we are in those 9 stones encodes in our life, so we become one. It's being baptized into the Spirit, baptized into Jesus, baptized into the Father, being in him, stepping into him, you know, being clothed with him, being skinned with him. All these are sort of synonymous sort of terms for this intimacy where, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6:17, the previous verse in verse 14 and 15 is talking about don't be joined to a prostitute because you become one flesh with her. And so this is talking about that deepest form of intimacy where you give yourself totally to somebody else and you join with them. And, you know, we're not talking about it in a sexual sense, but it illustrates how intimate it really is to be in him and him to be in us and to yield and embrace that and come into oneness with him. And so we begin to take on his thoughts. If you think about it, it's just like, all the I ams of God are in me, you know, and the omnipresent and omniscient and omnipotent God is living in me. And as I begin to embrace that, then I have access in him to be everywhere and to know anything and to do anything in union with him, in union and unity and oneness with him. And it's becoming that intimate with him. You know, and Yeah, I mean, I've spent, you know, the last few months there personally, because it's just the place where you begin to learn how to be embraced and how to embrace, and where your heart and his heart come together, and where this, you know, I think Ian uses the term, Justin Abraham uses it, cardiogenosis, where when you become heart to heart with someone, you receive a revelatory download and carry that person in your heart, and they carry you in their heart, and that can obviously be with a person, but also it's with God.
Yeah.
And in that intimacy with God, then everything begins to flow out of it. Wow. You know, and so it is becoming one and being connected with him in that oneness. And I think I did a session with the Pacific group last week where I went into that in quite depth.
Okay.
And I did an exercise where opening First Love Gate and just embracing one of the personalities of God, if you like, and knowing, because we need to identify them. We need to know, who am I engaging with? Is this the Spirit? Is this Jesus? Is this the Father? That they are three in one, but actually we can identify and experience them and become one with each by being baptized into them. And, it, you know, when you're baptized into the Holy Spirit, there's this engagement with righteousness, peace, and joy. When you're engaged into Jesus, there's this engagement with the way, the truth, and the life. Into the Father, you know, with judgment, justice, and holiness.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can engage also in the fruit of the Spirit, which are illustrations of, again, our connection, love, joy, and peace, which is what Jesus said he would leave us. His peace, he would leave us. His joy would be in us. Mm. We're to love others like we've experienced his love, and love ourselves in the same way, because we have to love ourselves, otherwise it won't work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, you then have the attributes of the Father, the patience and the kindness and the goodness of God, you know, that favor, that blessing of God, you know, where it talks about it's his kindness that draws us to repentance. And then you have the three fruits of the Spirit that really engage with the Holy Spirit, and you have their gentleness, and you have faithfulness, and you have self-control. And self-control isn't us in control.
No.
It's actually self-surrendered to the control of him. You know, so all those attributes really you begin to engage when you start to embrace and spend the time in just intimacy learning to know him. You know, that being still and knowing him comes in that place of intimacy where we can just be embraced and embrace, where we can surrender, you know, where we can take on the yoke of Jesus and be yoked to him as one who leads us, as our rabbi, as one who's our teacher, as one who's alongside us. You know, so many sort of ways in which we can sort of learn, but it's all about spending time there. You know, and it isn't until we've leaned in to him in that way, embraced him heart to heart and engaged that process of being transformed through, when we engage his heart and we know him in intimacy, that the rulership of sonship can come out of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's no point trying to get on a mountain or trying to rule in the realms of heaven without that intimacy.
Yeah.
It don't work, you know, and there's a limit. You can, but the limit of your authority will come out of what you carry in your heart of his desires. And when you step into him, you know, you can then learn how to be into that, his heart and the thoughts he has about us in eternity, you know, and engage in that place, because in him you're connected to what was, you know. So it's all about a flowing relationship of intimacy so that we can flow out of that into engaging God in it.
Okay, thank you very much. Really helpful.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it is an amazing thing that we can be joined like that. You know, I mean, it's an amazing thing just to think about, okay, oh yeah, God is in us. But actually, he really is in us.
Yeah.
You know, and that means all of who he is in us.
Yeah.
And we can experience him in us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the whole purpose of experiencing in us is so that then we can engage where he is, because then we're in him, and therefore we can engage in the realms of heaven where we have to administer the kingdom. You know, we can't administer the kingdom in ourselves. The kingdom is to manifest through us, around us, on earth as it is in heaven, but we have to engage heaven to be able to manifest the kingdom. Everything needs to be done there. But we establish the kingdom in us, which then opens the door to go into the realms of heaven to outwork the kingdom there as sons. So we're learning about sonship, what it means to be a son. And, you know, it's a learning process. We don't know everything. We're being tutored. We're being trained. He's fathering us. You know, if you don't know him as father, how ever are we going to be fathered?
No, that's right.
Yeah. So absolutely.
Go away and chew on that. I'm gonna listen to that one a few times, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Yeah.